Good morning. In early August, I was driving through Kings Canyon National Park with my family, Elizabeth, Annie, Arlo, Jolene the dog. We were coming back from a day of fun at Hume Lake, sun-kissed, dirty, and tired. The nearly deserted road featured plenty of curves and more than a few bumps. Wind rushed in through the open windows. As These Are Days played on the radio, I experienced a moment of grace, as if my body, as if the whole car were suffused with the Holy Spirit. As the driver, I was completely focused on the road, but I was also transported somewhere else. Natalie Merchant sang, "These are days you'll remember. These days you might feel a shaft of light make its way across your face. See the signs and know their meaning. Hear the signs and know they're speaking to you." I felt something transcendent, beyond understanding. Now, because I'm no poet or singer-songwriter, my fumbling explanations sound like a cliche, but it was a day to remember. I was a spiritual traveler blessed to be struck by the spirit of life. Spirit has to be one of the most malleable words in the English language. Indeed, my pondering about the difference between spiritual and spirited served as the original prompt for this sermon. Last year, as I sat in the pews listening to Reverend Greg, I found myself thinking that a spirited kid would never make it through a spiritual church service. Yet both spirited children and spiritual people vibrate with vitality and a zest for life. We are all one in the spirit. Now blame the 1990s, but the word spirit always makes me think of nirvana. Not the nirvana of a transcendent state in which there is no suffering, desire, or sense of self, but the nirvana grunge band of Smells Like Teen Spirit. With the lights out, it's less dangerous. Here we are now, entertain us. I feel stupid and contagious. Here we are now, entertain us. Don't you all want to go? Yeah? Okay. That's one kind of spiritual release. American culture can take some dark turns when we try to talk about the spirit. So instead, I want to go way back and call forth words from the Old Testament. God commands Ezekiel, "Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that we may live." Job claims, "The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." Indeed, in Hebrew, the word for wind and breath is also the word for spirit, ruach. I imagine that most of us find these biblical passages unconnected to our modern concerns, or just so much mumbo jumbo. Yet these ancient visions describing the spirit as air, as the very breath of life itself, seems quite similar to our UU spirit of life and love. UUs have a sometimes difficult relationship to the divine. In 1967, not long after the Unitarians and Universalists merged, Newsweek magazine termed UUs, quote, "atheists who have not shaken the church habit." It can sometimes feel nearly taboo to mention God in a service at this church. and I sometimes feel a little spiritually closeted when I'm here. Our denomination feels more proudly humanist than theist. There are good reasons for this. Many of us have had difficult, if not traumatic, experiences with organized religion. We have been hurt, beaten down, disappointed by God-fearing people and communities. We live in a nation politically dominated by right-wing Christian values, where religion and God too often seem more focused on hatred and exclusion than love and acceptance. This history is part of our collective spiritual journey. And yet, here we are. It's a Sunday morning. This is a house of worship. We gather together to sing about gathering the Spirit and the spirit of children. As a community, we search for deeper meaning, for fuller understanding, a chance to feel part of something greater than ourselves. In hymns and meditations, we call again and again on the Spirit of life. Be with us. Be in us. Allow us to feel the mystery and wonder of our human world. Create a mindful space for us to express our gratitude and to take a breath. Traveling with a purpose means meandering through life. Got that wrong. Traveling with purpose means rather than meandering through life, you need a map. In my family, I spend more time in the passenger seat reading maps than I do driving the car. Now, maps used to be complicated, not only because folding them back to their original shape took so much effort. These days, I depend mostly on my phone, but I'm still the one who directs us through traffic. Maps signify power, too. Early civilizations mapped the constellations, ordering a random collection of stars into Orion's belt, Hercules, Cassiopeia. Star charts gave shape to the heavens. Sailors who understood how to navigate by the stars and a sextant could set out to new places and, as important, safely return home. In the 16th century, the gorgeously drawn Cantino planisphere created the lines of the American continents for the first time. Today, Google Maps features that little blue dot that keeps you on course. But whatever the form, maps allow us to convey critical information and findings that can be difficult to express in words. You've noticed the pens and paper and crayons in the pews. Maybe a few of you have already started doodling. Or not. In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to do something a little unusual for Sunday morning, unless you spend a lot of time in RE. I'm going to ask you to draw yourself a map of your own personal, particular spiritual journey. So go ahead and pass out those pens and papers and crayons and get ready. Obviously, the map will be incomplete. Some of us have lived fully, and we don't have time to sketch the whole voyage. But I ask you to try to trace out a visual representation of your path to this place. Where do you see, hear, feel the Spirit? If you were to map it, where would it live? What are the key points along your spiritual journey? A few examples. Dave's spiritual map might feature his mother at the beginning of a winding road that eventually leads to UUCB and the challenge of prayer. Marin's map would certainly feature the night sky. Lately, my journey has included a lot of national parks and a sharp left turn towards the seminary. What would yours look like? Is the spirit of life inside you residing like the Hindu concept of Atman? Are you the blue dot on the Google map, carrying the spirit of life within you wherever you go? Or do you sense the spirit of life as salt in water, inseparable and untouchable, yet flavoring the essence of life itself? Do you find the spirit in a particular place, the giant sequoias or the crash of the waves of the Pacific Ocean? Do you see the spirit in the eyes of your friends? As you draw, I will read words from some of our spiritual ancestors on the many approaches to understanding and representing the spirit of life. Listen to the words if you like. Concentrate on your own particular path if you prefer. This may not work, but I think it's okay to try. So grab a pen and a Cora crayon and see what flows out onto the paper. The American conservationist John Muir wrote that in cold mountain altitudes, spirit is but thinly and plainly clothed. When a portion of spirit clothes itself with a sheet of lichen tissue colored simply red or yellow or gray or black, we say it is a low form of life. Yet is it more or less radically divine than another portion of spirit that has gathered garments of leaf and fairy flower and adorned them with all the colors of light? Although we say that latter creature is of a higher form of life. All of these varied forms, high and low, are simply portions of God, radiated from him as a sun, and made terrestrial by the clothes they wear. Novelist and writer Anne Lamott explains, "I think joy and sweetness and affection are a spiritual path. We're here to know God, to love and serve God, and to be blown away by the beauty and miracle of nature. You just have to get rid of so much baggage to be light enough to dance, to sing, to play. You don't have time to carry grudges. You don't have time to cling to the need to be right." The great 12th century Christian mystic Hildegard of Bingen spoke as the Holy Spirit. "I flame above the beauty of the fields to signify the earth, the matter from which humanity was made. I shine in the waters to indicate the soul, for as water suffuses the whole earth, the soul pervades the whole body. I burn in the sun and the moon to denote wisdom, and the stars are the innumerable words of wisdom." A century later, the Persian poet and philosopher Rumi said, "There is a community of the spirit. Join it and feel the delight of walking in the noisy street and being the noise." The 19th century Unitarian James Villa Blake wrote, "Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another." Scientist Albert Einstein said, "Curiosity has its own reason for existing. One cannot help but be in awe when he contemplates the mystery of eternity, of life, of the marvelous structures of reality. It is enough if one tries merely to comprehend a little bit of this mystery every day. Never lose a holy curiosity. The Hindu classic Bhagavad Gita says the soul dwells in every living being and every part of every living being. It dwells in the hand and the foot, the skull and the mouth, the eye and the ear. Although it does not itself have senses, it shines through every sense. It is completely independent, yet all beings depend on it. And the great UU hymnist Carolyn McDade says, "Spirit of life, come unto me. Sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. Blow in the wind, rise in the sea, move in the hand, giving life the shape of justice. Roots hold me close, wings set me free. Spirit of life, come to me. Come to me." Okay. Pause for a few minutes in your personal map making. Or don't. My words can continue to serve as the backdrop to your own personal explorations. For some of you, listening and drawing helps bring meaning to the service. And I'm sure for others of you, it was an impossible task. We UUs range all over the spiritual map. It is wonderfully impossible to create a single document to express a unified UU cosmology. Instead, our spirituality twists and curves along our particular paths. Each of us has our own geography and our own ways to access truth. Still, I believe one marker of our spirit's presence, whether it feels fierce and wild or gentle and calm or rational and scientific, is a profound sense of the worth, beauty, and dignity of other people. Our UU spirit of life helps us to see others as luminous gifts, precious and special in their humanity. And being joined together in a community filled with this spirit allows us to stand with and in love rather than to make pronouncements against others in judgment and hate. The world needs that message. Now, because I'm from the South and my mother desperately wanted me to be a cheerleader, it didn't happen. My personal concept of spirit is sadly bound up in the idea of pep rallies. I find myself chanting, "We've got spirit, yes we do. We've got spirit, how about you?" No. Now, surprisingly, this kind of spirit translates beautifully into church life. I am very rah-rah about Unitarian Universalism and the gifts it can offer. We have good news to share with the world and a spiritual message that people need to hear. Our maps could lead many places on a Sunday morning, but they draw us here. Let us share our maps with others. So whatever our individual differences, which we should celebrate as a great strength, I ultimately believe that the Spirit insists that we be both a prophetic and a dynamic community. In Old Testament Israel, the Holy Spirit inspired a messianic hope for the resurrection of the people. Today, in 2016, it must inspire us to speak out for movements of liberation, for justice, for sustainability. Our collective UU spirit calls us to bear witness to the possibility of change, to be prophets on the side of love. It provokes us to publicly perform in music, in song, in dance, in words, and in our own special fiery spirits, the beloved community. Our spirit deserves to be shared. So arise, awaken to the wholeness of your being. Arise, awaken to the beauty of your soul. These are days to remember. May it be so. Blessed be.